coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to this series of Bible studies on the first letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, pastor in Ephesus, guiding and instructing him how to carry out his pastoral ministry. Let us consider what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. What is meant by rebuking? In the original Greek language, this term contains an element of harshness and severity. Timothy should deal with the spiritual needs of people of all ages. However, he should not reproach them with harshness, rather with respect, kindness, and gentleness. Encourage, Paul says to Timothy. In other words, strengthen and help all, regardless of their age. Timothy is to regard believers as if they were members of his own family. This falls in line with Jesus' teachings. Paul makes a special note of caution in regard to the relationship of Timothy with younger women. He shall relate to them in all purity. This applies particularly to all ministers till this day. Sexual temptations can easily overpower a minister and lead him into shameful and destructive sins. Too much intimacy is dangerous. In the following text, the Apostle Paul refers to three distinct classes of widows. 1. Widows over the age of 60 with financial support available from family. 2. Widows over the age of 60 with family support not available, that is, widows in need. 3. And widows under the age of 60. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 to 8, we read as follows. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day, but she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Widows deserve special care in biblical times, so much so that in the Old Testament are found a number of references concerning how God's people should care for them. Here the Apostle Paul picks up the same theme. He advises Timothy to honor widows who are truly widows. To honor means more than simply showing respect. To honor means to give material support to those who are truly widows, those who qualify to receive support from the congregation, those who have no other means of support. Widows were particularly vulnerable in ancient societies because no pensions, government assistance, life insurance, or the like were available to them. The Apostle stresses the fact that, in the first place, widows should be supported within the family. Children and grandchildren have the duty to look after the needs of their parents and grandparents. This is part of God's commandment that says, honor your father and your mother. Supporting parents and grandparents is an act of godliness and a gesture to make some return for all that parents and grandparents have done in previous years for their children and grandchildren. And this is pleasing in the sight of God. Jesus says, whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Paul also mentions the fact that a believing widow in need of care sets her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. She takes her concerns in prayer to the merciful Heavenly Father and trusts in His providence. On the other hand, an unbelieving widow with a self-indulgent behavior, that is, who lives an immoral and ungodly life, is spiritually dead, although she is physically alive. Paul insists strongly that Timothy shall command these teachings so that the life of believers may be without reproach, that is, so that no one can fault their conduct. The apostle goes on stressing the duty of family members to provide for their relatives. He says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Apparently, lack of care and support within the families was an issue of concern within the church in Ephesus. Is it today? Yes, very much so. Providing love, care, and support to relatives are vivid expressions of the faith of Christians. Faith manifests itself in good deeds. The first place to express the faith is within the family. Any Christian who fails in doing this denies the principle of compassionate love, denies his very faith, and acts in worse manner than an unbeliever. Yes, because even unbelievers in many cases care for their household. Paul continues to speak about the care of widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. In the early Christian church, the support to widows and needy in general was carefully organized. The age of 60 is stressed. In New Testament culture, 60 was considered the retirement age. By that age, older women would have completed their child rearing and would have the time, maturity, and character to devote their lives in service to God and the church. They also would not be likely to remarry and become preoccupied with that commitment. So widows at the age of 60 and over, if they didn't have support from the family, they should be enrolled by the congregation to receive help. Interesting to note are the personal aspects of the life of widows that should be taken into account. The widow should have been the wife of one husband. Faithfulness in marriage was highly regarded. Monogamy, faithfulness to the spouse, shall be valued till this day, because they are part of the marriage designed by God. The widow to be assisted by the congregation should have a reputation for good works. The good works would have included bringing up properly children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The good works would also have included hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, that is, to do the humblest of tasks to others, caring for the afflicted, and devotion to every good work. All these works are expressions of Christian faith. In the sequence of his teachings, Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 11 to 16. But refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. Paul strives for fairness concerning the care for widows. He speaks of younger widows who have committed themselves to an important spiritual ministry and not remarried. In this case, the church would support them. However, if younger widows took a vow to dedicate their lives to Christ and the church, but break their pledge by marrying, then they should not be enrolled to receive support from the church. Younger widows, if they remarried, they should be supported by their husbands, not by the church, says the apostle. If younger widows had pledged to commit themselves to Christ and the church, but at the same time were driven by their passions and ran after a new husband, then their interest was divided. During the performance of their spiritual functions, they were preoccupied with the idea of finding a suitable husband. Paul saw the danger of younger widows to escape from their vows to remain single and be devoted only to God's service. He knew the negative impact such feelings could have on young widows' personal lives and ministry within the church. Paul also remarks that younger widows without a father, husband, children, or job would be prone to several social problems, including being idlers, going about from house to house, spreading gossips, and saying what they should not. Younger widows driven by their passions and with no proper occupation would be an easy prey for false teachers and for Satan. They could easily be tempted to break away from Christ and the faith. Apparently, the apostle knew examples in this respect. He says, "For some have already strayed after Satan." Taking all these factors into consideration, what is Paul's advice? He answers, "So I would have younger widow marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander." Paul is not giving a command for younger widows to marry, but he is giving an advice. Although younger widows lost their first husbands, there is still the potential privilege and blessing of remarrying and having children. They will find purpose in their lives while they manage their households and rear children. The home is the domain where a married woman fulfills herself in God's design. Within their families, they will also be given the means to be supported. Once again, Paul makes it clear that the church has the duty to care for and support the elderly widows whose families do not do it. However, the apostle stresses the fact that the church should not be burdened with cases in which relatives have the means to care for and support widows, but refuse to do so. This responsibility belongs to the family, in the first place. If the family is unable, or if there are no relatives, then the responsibility to support belongs to the church. Back to the Bible text, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "You shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain," and "the laborer deserves his wages." Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. The term elder is similar to overseer, also called pastor elsewhere. The duty is to rule well, which includes leading, directing, and exercising care and concern for others, but more importantly, preaching and teaching. Especially elders who labor in preaching and teaching shall be considered worthy of double honor. What does this mean? It means that the honor due the elders encompasses honor both in the sense of reverence and also in the sense of compensation or financial support. Paul quotes both the Old Testament and Jesus himself to support the following principle. The one who works is entitled to eat and to be rewarded with a salary. So pastors who dedicate their life to the ministry shall be properly supported by the church. Paul also has in mind the reputation of elders, so much so that he argues that no charge should be brought against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. Serious accusations against elders must be investigated and confirmed. On the other hand, elders who continue in any kind of sin after the confrontation of two or three witnesses and who have been rebuked privately must be rebuked in the presence of the congregation. The aim is to move them to repentance and help them amend their lives. Lastly, the apostle adds some additional recommendations to Timothy. He writes in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 21 to 25. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. The sins of some men are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. So also good works are conspicuous, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden. As ministers of the gospel, both Paul and Timothy carried out their work by the command of God and Christ Jesus. The invocation of God, Christ and elect angels, is a solemn reminder to Timothy of his great responsibility to keep all that has been entrusted to him without prejudging or being impartial. Timothy should also be careful in not being hasty in the laying on of hands, that is, in ordaining elders. Time should be given for the candidates to prove themselves. Paul equally reminds Timothy to look after himself, not taking part in the sins of others, but keeping himself pure. He is advised to drink a little wine, as a medicine for his stomach problems. Finally, Paul states that the sins of some men are manifest for all to see, thus disqualifying them for the office of elders. The sins of other candidates for elders will come to light in time, perhaps during the scrutiny of the evaluation process. The same is true for good works. Some are evident, others come to light later. Time and truth go hand in hand. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.